Hey everyone, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 9 of the Press X to Start podcast. Press X is a weekly gaming podcast where we discuss everything from gaming news, reviews, just generally all things video gaming. But most importantly, Press X is a podcast for everyone. So if you're looking for a place where you can see yourself in gaming, this is a place for you. Hey. And this week, our hosts with the most are myself, Cameron, my man Doug over there to my left. What's up, Doug?
Hey, what's up?
DJ producing with the moosing.
What it do?
I don't know where that came
AKA
from.
AKA sexy bad choices. AKA, did you know that Anthem is still a good game? I don't know why people keep bitching online about how Anthem sucks.
Oh, all right.
This is officially an Anthem podcast. Sean, MF. What's up, Sean?
Rouse.
Yes.
Wait. What the MF stand for?
Magnum Fury.
Ah. Ooh. So this week's podcast, we're going to jump right in and talk first about The Division.
Yeah.
So.
Wait. Cam, what you been playing?
So I've been playing primarily Anthem, but hey. I took a break to get The Division.
He's still fiending from it.
Yes, I'm scratching as we speak. To give The Division beta a try. So The Division was the looter shooter that got me into looter shooters. And so I was like, you know, out of respect for the game.
Yeah.
Let me give the beta a try. Yeah, it's a no for me, dog. So the problem with playing Anthem is it's made everything else slow for me.
Right.
And so when I played The Division beta, I lasted all of 45 minutes. I like the improvements that they made. It's just the game is too slow for me.
Yeah.
And so...
You feel like Anthem is fast paced?
Oh, extremely.
Compared to The Division.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can you give me an example of what it means by slow?
So Division is a cover-based shooter. So the time to kill enemies is a lot slower, primarily because just like you're taking cover, the enemies are taking cover. You are a human. So there's no javelin.
You are a homo sapien.
You are running around the world on your own feet. So you're slower than a javelin.
Yeah.
What else?
You walk like Arthur Morgan.
No. So in the actual hub world too, you walk, you know, everyone's doing the slow walking thing.
Yeah.
It's in DC. That's a DC Bob.
Yeah. You're
right.
Yeah, Mo.
What else? I think the other thing is Anthem has had its hooks in me. So it's really hard to go to The Division's realistic settings.
Yeah.
And
how does this, I guess, how does it affect your expectations for when the full game is released?
It's going to be more of The Division. And it seems like they fix a lot of the issues that folks have, myself included, have with the first one. It's just, I'm no longer interested.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like it's going to be a bad game. I looked at a lot of the updates that they're included in the way they're building the world. It seems super interesting. It's just not a game I'm interested in anymore.
You know what? I am very happy that you have these feelings on Division 2.
Yeah.
Because when I played the demo, I was like, I don't see myself playing this game for an extended period of time because it is just, yes, it is slow. It is lonesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know if these feelings was from a place of,
you went from Anthem to this?
Yeah, like I played the Anthem beta at the time, mm-hmm. and I played a Division beta. I was like, there's no way that this game is like that fun.
You don't think it even competes with Anthem?
Personally, no, for the same reasons that Cam had mentioned. But
you brought up a good point. You were like, if we had literally went from Red Dead Redemption to Division, we probably would have been like, oh, okay.
Yep. So me and Cam were talking off mic, and the conversation was about Division 2, and it was very much so like, why is it that we are so down on the game? And of course, it's because we've been playing a fantasy-driven, third-person like looter shooter, which Division is all that except for the fantasy part.
But you know, when you guys were playing between Odyssey and Red Dead Redemption, it seemed like you were able to see both the strengths and flaws of those two games. Do you think that it's really the juxtaposition between Anthem and Division that's swaying your opinion, or is it technically the game is not filling to what you are expecting now?
So to your point, And I mentioned this too. I think the other issue I'm having with Division is it literally plays like Ghost Recon. And so it's also...
It's not even fresh.
It doesn't feel fresh at all. And I think that's part of it has to do with Ubisoft's like the design philosophy in terms of how they build their games and build their worlds.
You mean now, the one design philosophy they
have? Yeah.
Just a palette swap.
Granted, it is. Right. Both of those are Tom Clancy-esque games. But Tom Clancy games used to have, before Ubisoft got into its design philosophy, like, for example, Splinter Cell had a unique Tom Clancy identity. Yeah. Ghost Recon had a unique Tom Clancy identity. Mm. Like, and so now they all literally just blend together. And so I was just like, well, I like Ghost Recon, but I didn't like it that much. Right. And now to be playing Division, which literally feels just like Ghost Recon, everything from down to the way that you have the four base squad teams, the way that the guns shoot, the way that the enemies interact and like call out, it's just like, okay, cool.
It's a palette swap.
Yeah. And it doesn't resonate with me.
But for those who do like that type of game,
go for it.
Yeah, it's more of that. It's more Division.
It looks like it has great content. It's just not for me. I mean, how you can do that gaming media instead of just crapping all over again? You can say, hey, it's not for me.
After playing only the PC version? Whatever. Like, just to compare, of course, Destiny, or I keep saying Destiny, Division 2 with a game like Anthem, I think actually, Cam, you had mentioned this same conversation that was off mic. You were saying how when you are fighting the people in Division, you feel like you're putting too many bullets in them.
Yeah.
And like the diversity of enemy characters is kind of lacking up until you reach end game where the new whatever.
And what Anthem does, it handles power fantasy so well.
Yes.
Like even
white power fantasy.
Actually,
yes,
depending on your power or freelancer people, whatever.
There are no white people in Anthem.
So you mean
for like Corvus?
There's a couple, but they're in the background.
Yeah,
they're just like talking and having a normal life.
It's just a light skin versus dark skin type of combat going on.
But I mean, this is the way Anthem handles power fantasy, where you're powerful literally off the gate, like when you first play the game outside of like the opening mission, where you're designed to feel weak. But with the Division, you're on the same level playing field as like a random thug on the street.
Right, yeah. And like,
I can't handle that after like calling down the storms of gods.
Right. Which I can understand, like, that groundedness of the Division is the appeal to some people. But yeah, then again, it's just like you can kind of get the Division 2 gameplay from 80% of the games out there.
Yeah.
Whereas Anthem is doing that.
Something new.
Yeah.
And we'll get to Anthem in a bit. But DJ, as you were kind of going on, you play Daemon X Machina.
So, Daemon X Machina. This is a Nintendo Switch game made by some of the creators of the Armor Core franchise.
And you love Armor Core.
That I absolutely adored. To the point where I was hyping up Armor Core to come in a new form or whatever. Sometime soon, last year, this year, next year, whatever.
And you're saying that your enthusiasm continues on to this day and you're brimming with joy.
Your heart will go on.
Love.
So about that enthusiasm, right?
Preach.
I played, there's a, what do they call it? Prototype mode demo, whatever.
Beta.
Beta. There's a demo that is out for Daemon X Machina. It was released during the Nintendo Direct. I jumped in after playing a good game of Anthem. I was disappointed. That game, I don't want to be mean.
It's okay.
But the game is not good.
Is it the design philosophy? Is it the controls?
The design philosophy is very much so hub world. You see your mech. You customize your mech. You take your mech out and you do stuff.
That sounds like Anthem.
Yeah.
It sounds like you would love it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I would love it.
It just doesn't control well.
Everything around it is not good.
How is it graphically, at least?
It's a Switch.
Not
game,
good.
So. Yeah. I was gonna say. It's also Switch, so it's not going to be that.
The thing is, like, what really bothers me now is that there's such a disparity between the polished games, like any Mario game, really, Zelda, like
that's part of the Nintendo brand.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, you look at this game, and it looks like a PlayStation 2 arcade game port that didn't withstand the test of time that got put on this game. There's a character creator
Ooh, okay, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
You know how low character creators.
Yeah. Not this one, though. I made myself a woman. I was like, cool. I made her black. Okay, cool. They had that skin tone. I appreciate it. And then I went to the hair choice. And I was like, all right. So I got anime hair 1, 2, or 4.
Cool. Oh, did it hit the standard black people afro?
No.
What? Because wow. Usually the afro is just a big circle.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
Top no, of no, no afro. No permed hair.
Right.
Just the anime.
Yes.
You know.
But it was cool. You can swap the hair. You can flip the hairstyle. Mm-hmm. So you can have the bang be on the left or the right side.
Oh, oh, Sophia could be looking nice. Okay.
I appreciate diversity. Them doing that. Diversity. There you go. And that's what we represent at Press X to Start. Diversity.
So
we got all kinds of hairstyles here.
Yeah. So playing the game, the controls are bad. You can change your button mapping, which I appreciate. Mm. And every game needs to do that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that the game itself, it just does not.
Their art style was chosen poorly, basically.
Yeah, like, just even the control choice in terms of how your mech moves up and down.
Mm-hmm.
You press a button to fly in the air. Mm-hmm. You press another button to...
Descend. Ascend and descend.
Yeah, well, but it's not how you think. It's not like it can consistent...
It's not like Anthem.
Yeah, no, it's not like Anthem, where it's like a consistent like thruster up and down.
Yeah.
It's literally you turn your thrusters on to go up, you turn your thrusters off to go down. So you're juggling between like almost bouncing in the air.
So how many controls are you dealing with at the same time? You just
it's a lot. All your fingers are doing stuff on the control, boy.
Ooh, no.
All of
them. I don't like that.
All of them, including your third
this
thumb.
This sounds painful.
Wow.
So and you pay your good money to
No. This was free.
It's a demo.
Yeah, the game is it's not good.
Okay. So then, Sean, did you actually play a good game?
Yes.
Thank God.
I've been playing Toe Jam and Earl.
Hell yeah.
Back in the groove. If y'all remember Toe Jam and Earl back on the Sega Genesis, back in the 90s, they remastered it. Apparently, I didn't realize they had a Kickstarter, so...
Really?
And Macaulay Culkin is one of the executive producers, believe it or not.
Hold the fuck.
God, this is a 90s wet dream.
this released
building
on,
up for this moment.
This released on all systems, the Switch, the PlayStation, the Xbox, and Steam. And I'm loving it. It's you play as two aliens who crash landed on the Earth and they're trying to put their shit back together.
What's their name?
Toe Jam and Earl. And they have
other characters I saw, right?
Yeah, they have alternate characters. They have like this other alien, Letitia. Toe Jam and Earl is...
Oh, yeah. She's the black woman, right?
Yeah, Toe Jam and Earl is black.
Not to be, like, racist, but
wait,
Letitia.
It's black in essence.
Yeah.
But it's not the type of pandering black to where you're, like, offended.
Right.
Because...
Right.
Is she voiced by Cree Summers, who voices every
black
character?
No, I don't even mean her. I just mean, like, the overall tone of the game. You know how people who weren't...
Yes.
I don't want to say black, but trying to be black and trying to be hip.
Yes.
It still carries that over without feeling offensive. Yeah.
Okay.
But you walk around, you open up presents, you get to fly around, run around when you open up the presents, there's food in there, stuff like that, or you're attacked by earthlings, but ultimately you're trying to put the shit back together. It is multiplayer. You can play it online. People can drop in and out of your game.
Okay.
They have unlockable characters. I beat it last night after the second try. I'm gonna keep on playing it. I like it. The only issues I have with it is it has random slowdowns.
Mm.
I think it was coded poorly, so sometimes it'll just freeze and then it'll let you catch up. Also, it's missing like the initial elevator wind up music or a little sound effect. That's the only thing I feel like it's missing.
Oh, really?
Other than that,
when you say multiplayer, does it have couch co-op?
Yes. So if you like, you're normally on the same little level, and if you split off, the screen will actually split.
Okay, that's cool.
And it'll show where the other person is, show where you are.
What's the camera view for that?
Overhead, right? I mean, because
it's an isometric kind of three-quarter view.
Okay.
Where you're over, you know, it's still 2D.
Yeah.
To a degree, but it's not, if that makes any sense.
Right, because of the camera view.
Yeah, so you're not walking on a, Z-plane?
Yeah, where it's like side scrolling.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Now, I think it's the moment I've been waiting for to talk about.
He's Anthem. Rubbing his hands together like,
I know,
you're right.
Dr. Evil.
Theme scratching. So I'm going to kick us off because I love this
game. Yeah, go
for
it. We
yeah,
so
I talked about
last
podcast, week. Yeah.
Yeah, we gave our early impressions. We've all have more impressions now because we've all played.
So many.
I purchased it last week while we were recording.
So now to talk about Anthem, here's my impressions. Here's overall. I love the game.
Yeah. How far are you into the game?
I've beaten the game.
Okay.
The story mode, that is.
No, I've beaten the whole game's a service game.
All the strongholds. Right. All the loot.
I am a god. I'm level 28.
Hey.
Oh, congratulations.
Starting to get my masterwork pieces.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The gameplay loop is super addictive.
Yes, it is.
It fulfills power fantasy. Here's what I will say. I think my feelings of love is augmented by the fact that I paid $35 for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you like cheap whores?
No, but it gets into my criticisms about the game. I've never played a game that I love so much that actively tries to make me not like it.
How so?
So, I mean,
that, my friend, is destiny for me.
Yeah.
That is destiny.
So, and what I mean by that is there's some inherent design flaws about this game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The game has tons of glitches, technical glitches, yeah. And God, the loading screens.
They, you know what's funny? They even use glitch in the game as a curse word.
Yeah. Yes.
Get glitched.
Yeah. Glitched.
And then I fall out of the game after.
Last night when Sean and I were trying to play, like multiple occasions we were trying to get in, we were getting kicked out. They checked on Twitter. They said they shut down the server for emergency maintenance for about an hour. And it's just been an ongoing problem. So yeah, it's a ongoing issue.
I played Apex Legends while they were fixing the servers.
EA to
give EA money, right?
And I think so. There's a lot of glitches in the game that I've consciously forgiven.
Can't kill people.
Yes, but the one that absolutely annoys me to death is the permadeath glitch, where you cannot repair, and it's really bad on the last mission.
Yeah.
And I play all these games on hard because the enemy AI is trash. Yeah. And you need to play it on hard.
Okay. It's not, I would say that the enemy AI isn't trash. It's trash. Just that because.
Avery said no pejoratives. It's really bad.
Right.
Really, really bad. Okay.
The only reason why I defend the AI in this game.
On normal, though?
Because you have easy, normal, Grandmaster 1. 2 and 3.
And then Grand Dragon of the Clan.
Difficulty. So like
Shogun Shona.
The difficulty scales by so much that at that point, like normal is just easy too.
So who's playing this game on easy? That's what I want to know.
It's
people who drink in the Weenie Hut Jr.
I will also tell you that whenever, if I'm playing this game solo, I usually play it as normal. Because I feel like the way that the game is set up, it is, especially like free play, where I don't know what I might encounter. And if I'm like last night when we were playing, I'm testing on some new gear. I don't want to be testing this new gear on hard. I just need to know where's my L1 and get the muscle memory in. So I switch between normal and
some
hard.
People are playing just punished. For the story, though.
I want to be punished in this game.
Be gone, fuck!
I want to be...
Well, we know the depths of your masochism.
Multiple times yesterday...
Like, punish me for making dumb decisions.
Cam has said, yes, I like that hurt.
Because I should have known better than to fly into cover. Yeah. Like, fly and try to get echoes.
Yeah.
And a turret is shooting at me. I should have known better. Punish me for making a bad decision.
What do you think about the story itself?
I think the story is decent. It probably has my favorite games as a service story. It's more memorable. So prior to that, I didn't remember whatever happened in Destiny. I can't
tell
you.
You don't need to.
With The Division, it made sense because of how the world is grounded and how they built the world. And so I was like, okay. With Destiny 2, it was better.
Yeah.
But Anthem, I like all the characters, and I remember all the characters.
Yeah.
With Division, I didn't remember none of the characters. Well, I remember the main beats, but none of the NPCs really stuck out to me. Here they do.
Yeah.
The story is just okay. They do a good job of getting you from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And that's really
You mean for this game, Anna?
Yeah, for this game. I think...
I'm assuming you're talking about for missions, they help you tell you where to go to point A and point B.
No, but even the story kind of gets you from, like... You start the game and end the game in the same place, and they tell you why you're beginning.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
In the same
place. Not just like, oh, this thing happened. Oh, that thing happened. Like the build up to like what's happening is actually a nice progression.
Because my issue is that I feel like the story is a bit convoluted. Only for the fact that there's a lot of detail, and
And I agree with you. And I think so this is what gets me about, like, and I'll talk about this with like the gaming media perspective, but this is what gets me about a lot of people's criticism about the storytelling, how they say like there's a lot behind like Codex and you got to really search for it. But that's inherently BioWare. That's a BioWare issue.
Absolutely.
And I think
but people, that doesn't make it a good trait or bad trait. No, it's just a BioWare issue.
But people are dinging it because they're like the story doesn't make any sense or whatever, but like that's part of BioWare's thing.
But those are two separate issues here. You can have a particular form of storytelling, but it could still be poor particular telling.
Absolutely.
Of storytelling.
No, but like, so here's let me rephrase my framing. So when people criticize this game, they're like, I think about Mass Effect and I think about Dragon Age Inquisition and Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. This is not my BioWare. And no, everything about this is your BioWare. Yeah. Like the Codex, even the UI design that I absolutely hate.
It's
like
trash.
The menus, like the menus that we hate look like this in Mass Effect. It looked like this in Dragon Age. It probably looked like this in Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. I just didn't play it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, the things that you are saying that are not BioWare, this must be an EA push, are inherently BioWare.
Yeah.
And I think people have this inability to separate the two. So
for them,
I'll get into that later.
Go ahead, Sean.
For them to want you to read up and research so much of the story in the menu is not
intuitive. Consistent,
and it's not. It's slow. It's slow and inconsistent. Basically,
let me tell you something about menus being slow. Damon, have you heard of a little game called Destiny? Y'all talk about how the load screens and stuff is so like slow and whatever.
They Destiny, are though, bro. It's because God of War broke me. Because like, I mean, God of War removed all the load screens. So
Destiny,
now I'm
what
broken
Destiny
on load
did,
screens.
They took that load screen chunk and they just put it in random fucking places. Like when you opened up your character sheet,
yes,
it would load. And you're like, why is it? It's still loading. What's it loading?
I would say, yeah, I'm somebody, this is my very first RPG. I've never played Destiny or okay. I never play any. I'm completely new to this, and that's why I said it's a beautiful game.
Yeah,
it is friendly for somebody who is new to the genre, who's getting used to this.
Best looking
looter shooter.
Yeah.
And like I said, I like the diversity of the characters. Although I find it interesting. They seem like every character is from some part of the British Empire. So I like, I hear some
that's
Aussies.
Also inherently BioWare
there's a,
too.
There's a British black woman, like yay Flowetry. It is, and the weapons are cool. However, like I said, I love story. I'm in it for the story. It took a while for me to really understand what is at stake in this story. I know they give you a lot of big and kabang, but in terms of the term that they throw out at you with the Cenotaph, the Heart of Rage, the Anthem, and you have these it takes a while for all those pieces to actually link up and to make sense. And so you could go the Codex route, but that to me breaks out the flow of good storytelling.
So I agree with what you're saying. And I think the reason why it is a little difficult to like figure out exactly what's going on is because this game is a games of service. And we like the way I appreciate what they did in terms of trying to balance a story with a lobby system and going out in the world and playing with friends and stuff. But like the story part suffers because when you go back into Fort Tarsis, you are still in that party chat, but then you have to figure out how to listen to these people talk to you about this story. And like the pronouns that they use.
Freelancer.
Yeah, exactly. Like all that stuff is because of that world is a lived in world. So those people who are talking about it know what those items mean, but you don't necessarily have a narrator that's like, what's a freelancer? And you're like, no, you are a freelancer. Freelancers are people that pilot javelins that go out there and do random shit.
But they're different than the Sentinels because they also have javelins. But the Sentinel, but when you talk to Sentinel Bren, like she kind of explains like why she chose to be a Sentinel instead of
freelancer. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I absolutely love this story because I feel like they managed to do what Destiny couldn't do, which was make a convincing story, make convincing characters in that story, and then have those characters work not only in Fort Tarsis, but outside, or not only in the hub world, but also outside in the open world. And I think these characters, as much as I love Cade, Zavala, and Ikora.
Who are these niggas?
Those are the big three in Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
It's I mean, like, there's other big characters in Destiny lore, mm-hmm. but those characters aren't really put in the forefront in the actual game. You have to read up, listen mm-hmm. to podcasts, do your own research. But I feel like in
that to me is exactly
who Holic is.
I know exactly. That's not a good story. That may be good game mechanics, but that's a strategic decision over what are you going to invest your resources. Is it in storytelling or is it in the gameplay? For me, like, the storytelling here is it's good. It's convoluted. You know, I prefer storytelling that's a little more stripped down and we understand what is at stake. So I understand what road I'm going through. Or if you're going to do a change, I wanted to be so pleasantly surprised I didn't know it was going on. Mm-hmm. And I think
your opinion on the story would be a little different if you had to experience the story by yourself and not in a team.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's been often times where we are playing together.
And we're talking through conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I'm having a conversation with you guys while there's a story. I'm like, oh, fuck, I should probably listen to that.
To be honest, like, I've beaten the story without playing with you all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then whenever I go back and play with you, I'm going back and playing with the story.
Yeah.
And so, like, my experience is different because I'm like, I've already gone through this with some
randos. You saw the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and that's partly, like, which is good for me how I play because I'm just like, let me just get through the story stuff. And that's probably why, like, my story part is
your progression.
Right.
But, so here's what I appreciate in getting through and talking through. I appreciate how responsive the developers are. And I appreciate it because, like, they're like, hey, we want to fix this. And they've released the patch. And mm-hmm.
They've a 90-day game plan.
But here's what my concerns are. It's about the long-term health of the game. And I've texted DJ about this. It's been shown that, like, Anthem is not selling well as compared to, like, Destiny. They said that base Destiny, they said it is 25% less than what Destiny sold when it came out.
That's a lot of competition, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned.
Although, I will say that Destiny 1, when it came out, it was kind of inflated because that was the first game to service, mm-hmm. and that was a game that was marketed for years before it came out, so everyone was up for Destiny, and then when Destiny came out, people were saying the same thing that they're saying about Anthem, about, oh, this is garbage, the story sucks, there's nothing to do, it's so boring.
Yeah.
But it's a game.
But this is the thing I wonder, though, with the Destiny experience is that from what I recall, there was a definite drop between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2. Even though people said Destiny 2 was a better game,
it was.
The folks who were burned went on to other games.
Yep, absolutely.
It's like the Iron Fist of Netflix.
And so I'm facts. And that's what I'm concerned about with the Division 2 coming out next week.
Yeah.
It's next week, right? Or in 2 weeks.
No, it's the week after. It's like March. It's in the teens.
Okay.
Like late teens.
And so I'm concerned about Anthem, and, like, I want this game to be continue to be supported, and I appreciate their 90-day roadmap, but I'm so concerned because this is EA at the end of the day.
Do you know what's going to happen? They're going to use the prophets of Apex.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
And, like, we'll never get another Titanfall, which I'm okay with.
No, we'll get another Titanfall.
They announced Titanfall 3.
Say what?
They announced Titanfall 3.
Okay. Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not all that worried about Anthem because all the things that people, not all things, a lot of things that people are saying are because of the bugs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a bug can be fixed.
Yeah.
And it's not like people are like, oh, the game just does not play well. The game, like, the shooting feels bad. People aren't saying those things.
So, and this gets to a point I want to talk about YouTube.
And I'm being general, by the way.
Yeah, about the YouTube community. But before we get in there, I wanted to ask you all, like, what's, like, one or two things that are, like, on your wish list, like, so as the game is continuing to be updated, like, mm-hmm. like, Doug, what's something that you're like, yo, they need to take care of this immediately?
Oh, immediately?
Or, like, you know.
Oh, low screens. That's an immediate need. That's like, I need to go, you know, I want to add something new to my javelin. Low screen. Oh, we're going to do pre-play. Low screen. Oh.
If you're coming back from a mission, and, you know, it gives you the option to go to the Forge or to Fort Tarsus.
And don't forget the launch pad.
Or the launch pad. If you're in the Forge, they should have Fort Tarsus loading in the background to speed up that loading time.
yeah, it shouldn't be erased from your cache. It should still be there while you're in the forge, because the forge...
Where else are you going to go after leaving the
exactly,
forge?
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, then, and another thing is, this is something... Since it's situated where you're in, where you are progressing to your story, some of us are making our way through it. What I don't like is how when you're playing the game and you've played a mission, ahead of, let's say you go join a group of people who are in a higher level of the story, you beat those missions, then you go back to your game. You still have to replay the old mission as if nothing ever happened. And that's, even though you get the PlayStation trophy, which is kind of cool, and you get the loot and you can still level up, but you still have to play your mission and your track and your story. And I wish there was an option which you could, like, hey, if there's a mission you like, you can keep playing it, good. But if you want to skip that mission and you want to go to that next chapter of the book, or in this case, the game, I wish there was, like, you could press X to skip. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you've done it already.
If you've done it already, you want to move on? You heard a story?
The only problem is that I just wonder, after you skip the cutscene, where does it put you while you're in that limbo?
And I feel like it's going to break them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another low screen. That's what they're going to put you in.
You're right.
And DJ, then, what's on your wish list?
I would say the thing that I would want to see in this game, other than the load screen fix, I think I want more customizable parts.
What do you mean?
In the game. So you know how the, like, I mentioned it last week when I think Jordan was saying it, how when you go to your appearance, you have different heads you can pick, different torsos you can pick. I want to see more of that.
Okay.
And not really tied behind like paywalls or whatever. Like it should be attached.
$6 for a pose.
Right? Go ahead. I'm sorry. It should be attached to your challenges.
Yeah.
Like if you complete these challenges, you get a cool looking head or you get cool looking arms or whatever.
Hey, cool looking head.
So I have a point for that, but go ahead, Sean.
You need to be able to set waypoints.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, yes. That map is trash.
It's a beautiful map. Checking the map to see where I'm going. And it's not even like shit's labeled.
Yeah.
I'm in a technically advanced. Here, so I know I'm.
Right. I'm in a technically advanced robot that can shoot nuclear bombs.
And with GPS?
Yeah. Like, what? Are you serious?
They don't have satellites.
Right.
That's my main issue. You should be able to set waypoints. And the cost of. I was talking with Doug about this last night. An emblem is like $6.
Glorified clip art.
That's ridiculous.
The game isn't free. I understand they don't have a monthly subscription, but...
You're going to give me my microtransaction, right? Yeah. Yeah, I know how I do.
See, but like Destiny also had that problem when it released.
Destiny 2.
And that stuff was just like, people was like, this is way too expensive. And the devs were like, yeah, you're right. This is too expensive. And they fixed
it. But this is to a point that Sean raised earlier, though. It's not just that the cost of it, but you can't even
preview it.
Like,
that's a problem.
I want to see my javelin do the robot.
Just so you can know if it's cool or not. Might be some shitty robot.
You can't even rotate the models, like, when you're previewing it.
Yeah.
The limited preview that they do give you.
Yeah, it's just a picture.
DJ, to your point. All right, so my wish list is, first, you gotta fix that permadeath when your square doesn't work to repair or to interact with the game bug. The other issue I really want to fix is when you're saying like how to get extra material or things like that, let it be tied to like challenges.
Yeah,
it is. It's just not explained to you.
Oh yeah, you're right. Shit, it is.
And so like, I didn't know that I was accruing like different metal types.
Yeah,
I didn't know that I was accruing like different, like, you know how the game skins is like worn, old, clean, or new. It's tied to the Archimist loyalty things. It's tied to the Freelancer loyalty. And it's tied to the Sentinel loyalty.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that until I went through the menus.
And you're like, oh, this is new.
Yeah.
I'll ask about that off show.
And so I'm just like, explain this, say this. Right. And moving forward, our last point is just, so last week you all talked about the media. And so I want to talk specifically about the YouTube community. Mm-hmm. And so right now, YouTube, there really isn't a split. Everyone formed up like the Avengers to trash this game, with the exception of the EA Game Changers, right?
Yeah.
And what I realize is, I follow like the Black Hokage, Gaming Illuminati. I follow Fighting Cowboy. And these folks are part of the gaming EA Changers. But their opinion is still balanced. They talk about the things that they didn't like about the game, what they want. And then everyone else, like, I like Jim Sterling, but Jim Sterling.
And just to clarify, Game Changer is a program which EA pays stipend. This is a stipend for travel, what have you, but not necessarily pure sponsorships.
Correct.
To content creators.
Cool.
Correct. No, thank you, Doug. And Jim Sterling or Upper Echelon Gaming, Skill Up, or Clear Prince Gaming. And everyone's from the perspective of this game is the Fallout 76 of 2019.
Yeah.
Anthem was murdered, and let me tell you how. And everyone else is just like, yo, you're just being negative for the sake of being negative.
Yes. Yeah, very sensationalized.
Clicks. Very sensationalized. Yeah. And part of it has to do with the fact that it's there's certain publishers that are always going to get like shitted on regardless. Yep. It's going to be Activision, it's going to be EA, and now Ubisoft.
And Nintendo.
And what I'm finding is folks who are just like, this game is inherently bad. It's unplayable. It's boring. It's like, no, it may not be for you. Or you're literally came in saying, like, this is how I feel about the game because you release 20 YouTube videos leading up to the release of Anthem to talk about how Anthem is dead. And one of the points where there was a big story in the beginning where they were talking about the microtransactions in Anthem.
Yeah.
And they were saying the EA Game Changers were like, we went to the event and developers told us, they said, this is not the real cost of an item.
Yeah.
Like, we just letting y'all know that now. This is just a placeholder. And they were saying, and well, Black Okage was like, I bet you someone's going to take a picture of this and post it somewhere. And literally the next week, someone posted it and says, $20 for
a skin or something.
Right.
That's still too high.
And then that's when the YouTube community went like crazy on it. And then Jim Sterling, what I appreciate was when he did his video takedown of EA, once he found out the story behind it, he took his video down.
That's good.
The other folks like Angry Joe or the other people who are like talking about the game, because they literally said in the beginning of their video, hey, just let you know this has been changed or patched, and then still did an hour or a 30-minute video rant.
You got to understand, though, how YouTube works.
I know. And they were saying, literally, that's the way YouTube is. It's like the way
you have to make sensationalized shit to get your views to make their money. If that's how you make your money, you got to do what pays. You got to shake your moneymaker.
I know. And so that's been the thing that's been bothering me. Whereas IGN or GameSpot or whoever else takes more of a Kotaku. This is like the BioWare I know and love because they're stuck on that. The YouTube community has been more like just toxic around this game. And it's not, and I'm not saying there's inherent flaws. I've literally said, I like this game because I paid one, $35 for it. Two,
it's actually. So I mean, if you paid $60, you'd be flipping tables.
If I paid $60, I would have been upset about the game at its initial release, but I still would have liked it.
Right.
So that's what I have to say about that. Okay. But before we jump into our gaming news section, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Toe Jam and Earl. Go play it.
What's good, y'all? Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure that you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, then tell three people about the podcast. Could be strangers, friends, loved ones, hated ones, your Uncle Jim, I don't know. Every little bit helps. And after you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you've already done all this, well done. Platinum trophy achieved.
All right. And we're back. Hope you enjoyed that word. DJ.
Hey.
You have our first news topic.
I do.
Why don't you kick that off for us?
Cam.
Yes.
What month is it?
March.
You're right. March comes after February. So these are the March games. Well, we're going to do games for gold. We're going to do Microsoft first. Yeah. So these are the games that will be available to you this month. You got Adventure Time, Pirates of the... See, here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. I have no idea how to pronounce this name. I'm going to butcher it.
Mm-hmm. Enchiridion.
And Pirates of the Enchiridion. That's what we're going to go with. It is now, why is it cost?
$30, $40.
Is that just the...
That's normally what it would have costed.
God, Microsoft makes things so complicated. Why? We have Plants vs. Zombie Garden Warfare 2.
That is actually fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Modern Warfare, but in a Plants vs. Zombies like world. So,
oh yeah,
is it a first person shooter?
Third person.
Third person, yeah. It is actually fun because they gave it out for free, like the first version a while ago, and I played it, and it was
okay.
You have abilities.
Yeah.
You can either play against the environment, so PvE or PvP.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's actually pretty good.
All right. Then we got Star Wars Republic Commando.
I have no idea.
Then we have Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Oh. I actually did want to play that. That's with Raiden, ain't it?
Yes, yep. It is.
It's on Xbox, though.
And we are getting this
information. Well, it says Xbox One and 3, but shit, I don't have Xbox Live Gold.
Because who needs that?
I'm sorry. We don't.
I'm going to go borrow Jordan's Xbox.
Okay, so we're getting this information from Xbox Wire. So next up, we have the PlayStation Plus free games.
Hey.
And we're getting this from PlayStation Blog. We have Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered.
Hey.
Sure. So yes. Don't play that. Shooter. Save your marriage, DJ. This man about to be homeless.
Hey.
This
I am faithful to two.
Anthem and Shireen.
One is my wife. The other is this gun I just got in Anthem.
Damn. Your marriage can only handle one.
This game was the game that actually caused me to buy Xbox 360.
Oh, you got it for 360?
Like when it first came out, yeah. Like my brother-in-law brought over Halo and Modern Warfare, and I was like, put that Halo shit away.
Right?
Put it in Modern Warfare, though.
Oh, yeah. Like I had Modern Warfare for PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And that game damn near almost ruined my relationship with my wife right now.
Mm. You got a real one, boy.
I had to learn how to balance, okay? Because
so now
I
you just play late at night.
Right. At 3 in the morning.
And do the sneak of shame.
Aren't you tired?
A warrior's never tired.
No, I meant
the
wife.
Amber Rose of gaming.
Don't you want to go to bed,
Amber
honey?
Rose of gaming doing his sneak walk.
All right. So next up is The Witness, which was that giant crazy puzzle game created by the developers of Braid back in 2008. The creator is Jonathan Blow. So,
bless his heart.
Cam, do you have something to say about Jonathan Blow?
No.
These are the two games that will be free in March. And then we have a couple of PS3 and PS Vita games.
No, they got rid of those.
They will get rid of them in a few more days.
Oh, shit. So this is on a timer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's available the first Tuesday of every month.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And it's like Metal Gear Solid Sons of the Patriots.
Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah,
Guns of the Patriots.
They issued a reminder that for PS3 and PS Vita game, they'll no longer be part of the monthly free games lineup on PS Plus.
They're slowly phasing them out. Yeah.
They are shuttering PS Vita.
Goodbye, Vita Island.
By the way, the games are Dive Kick, Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of Patriots, Gun House, and Rogue Aces. Enjoy. All right, next up.
Douglas.
Oh, we're going to talk about
rumor that. Has it.
Rumor has it.
Ah. I heard a rumor that.
Ah!
Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's like a father that hates his kids.
So there's been rumors been popping up now and then in the past few months about Watch Dogs 3.
Jeez.
And in this case, this was an anonymous post on Fireden.net where somebody said that there'll be no new Assassin's Creed in 2019.
Yes.
This year is Watch Dogs 3.
All right.
Yes. Copping it.
Mm-hmm. Furthermore, this anonymous post said that Watch Dogs 3 will be set in London. It will focus more on small firearms and knives for combat with a larger emphasis on hacking and with a new character. So, they will give you choices though. So, you'll be able to choose male or female, kind of like with Far Cry 5, but same story.
So, basically, it's going to be Assassin's Creed, but with like cell phones
and a drone.
Well, did you play Watch Dogs 2?
Yes. The only Ubisoft game that I unanimously was like,
Cam
you need
loved
to buy
this game so much, he bought it for me, and it took me some time.
I did buy it, but
I got through that game, and I love that game, now I own way too much Watch Dogs 3, Watch Dogs 2 merchandise.
That is true. I literally was like, Doug, you need to play this.
Yeah.
I'll buy it for you.
He's like, you remember how you really like GTA 5? Well, you're going to like this. It's a great story. You'll enjoy it. And so he bought it for me the first one. So I had to play this game.
He basically bribed you into this game.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that people talk about why London is because London is one to say is most known for having as so many cameras.
Yeah.
And such an interconnected society in terms of technology and public utilities. So I'm looking forward to see what may come of it. Maybe this would be something I'll talk about at E3. That would be amazing. But EA hasn't said anything officially yet of Watch Dogs 3 other than they are making it.
Oh, you mean Ubisoft?
Ubisoft. Thank you. Sorry. Mm.
They need to have Man's Not Hot.
Put it on Ting Ting.
Yes.
Put it on Ting Ting.
That's a certified major go buy for me.
Yo, they just dispose, like, they had a compelling characters in Watch Dogs 2.
All of them. I feel sorry for Horatio. I ain't going to spoil, but man. Horatio.
And so Marcus. If they literally just throw away those characters, I don't know if I'm going to be into it.
Well, remember Watch Dogs 2.
Did they do that with the first one?
Huh?
Did you play the first one?
No, because it was trash. I mean, well, not
it wasn't trash. But I mean, they referenced Aiden in part two. If you know.
But like, they literally referenced him by showing him running on a camera somewhere.
Well, but you do a mission. you get his coat, too, if you do that side mission.
Yeah, but like Marcus, though.
And then they're going to reference DedSec. That's what's going to carry over.
I know, but I don't think you're understanding me. I like Marcus only.
Look, you heard my talk on the last Culture Cast. You had your Blackie and your series. It's moving on.
You only get one.
You niggas get one.
He's one of the good ones.
Everybody gets one.
Hey. He's a credit to his race.
Can I touch his hair? So, speaking of diversity, Riot, who just laid off everyone, appointed a chief diversity officer in its ongoing inclusivity efforts. According to an article from Variety, Riot Games announced that Angela Roseborough will become Riot Games' first chief diversity officer and the new leader of our diversity, inclusion, and Riot Culture Initiative. Roseborough previously served as the global head of diversity, equity, and inclusion at the cloud storage service Dropbox. Ooh.
Oh, snaps.
And at Riot, she will supervise Riot's diversity and inclusion team while creating inclusive programs to improve Riot's workplace culture. Remember that they had that whole Twitter thing where one of the devs spoke out to one of the.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they got fired for her.
They fired the teammate that supported her.
Yep.
This includes changes to Riot's recruitment processes, the update reports. And as Roseborough says, I've had the opportunity to meet some incredible rioters who are passionate about creating a culture where everyone thrives together. And I was so taken by the heart and soul of this company. And in spite of setbacks or hurdles, I'm excited to be a part of this journey. We're going to talk more about Angela joining Riot in our For Culture topic podcast. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to talk about Angela coming on. What does diversity look like from the standpoint of game development? What ultimately needs to be had? So be on the lookout for that, cast.
Do you have any initial impression, any sneak peek thoughts we can get from you?
I just hope that this doesn't involve tokenism. So usually when folks, not just gamers, but corporately, whenever we say diversity, it means let's hire this black person, let's hire this gay person, let's hire this like Asian
person, somebody on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so that way we take a picture and put it on the website. We're diverse. And then you still either you're not paying those people.
Nope.
Or you're not putting them on projects that will ultimately inform the way the game.
That's like that lady that Trump keeps on bringing out, that black lady. Oh, apparently it's the same black lady every time.
Yeah. It's just one.
So be on the lookout for that. Sean, what is Fortnite doing?
They're being Fortnite legends.
Fire segue, boy.
Season 8.
They're not even
now
trying to hide the fact that they're borrowing from Apex Legends. They have a Lifeline-esque skin in the game.
Really?
A Lady of Rage with Afro Puffs in there. And
I rock rough and stuff with my Afro.
And we're getting this from Forbes.
Forbes.com. Why does she have a chain with a lock around her neck. I don't know why. You know, I just realized that.
Because everything's iry. Fortnite's like, Fortnite's.
I mean, maybe she's in the puff community. I don't know.
So they've copied one of the characters.
Yeah.
And then they've also copied the pinging system from Apex.
Well, I want more people to copy that.
That is a good system.
Please actually, copy that.
There's nothing wrong with copying it because you can't, I guess, copyright or patent pinging, certain little mechanics gameplay, like that. So, I mean, if something's a good mechanic in a game, sure, I hope it spreads. Just like an Anthem and a lot of shooting games. I wish they had active reload like Gears of War.
Y'all
ever played that.
Yeah.
They've copied the pinging, and it looks like they're going to implement a revive system so people can actually see, what was it, see-through buses? In the replay system, you can actually see buses where it looks like you're going to be able to revive people, like spread across the map and stuff.
But that kind of, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really like Fortnite, but it feels kind of changing the entire culture of Fortnite.
Yeah, yeah. The revive Fortnite thing is going to be a very decisive move.
They already had a revive system kind of anyway if you were downed, just like in Apex, where if you're downed, somebody can still help you out.
But it's like, but with Apex, like, you got to carry someone's banner to the thing. Are they going to just carry them to the bus?
We don't know what they're going to
do. It'll be something similar, more than likely. But Apex moves, I mean, not Apex.
Fortnite.
Fortnite moves.
Fortpex.
Fortnite moves super quickly as far as, because they're still in beta, quote unquote. They are very quick to react to the changing market. I don't think they're going away anytime soon.
I don't either.
I mean, you can't be at the top making, they were making billions at one point, right?
Yeah.
Well,
a month. Like, that's not sustainable. However, I think they'll be around for quite a while longer.
Long time. I'm glad you brought that point, Sean, right? Because
what's going on with that money?
There are some cracks with the Fortnite.
Wait, real quick, before we do this.
Are they securing the bag?
I would love to call out how tone deaf this new skin in Fortnite is. Like, Sean had slightly touched on it with the fact that she has a chain with a lock as a pendant.
Like a slave.
Yeah, it's like,
I look at it differently.
What the Harriet Tubman of
like, what is
I wear these chains from Moses, mom, but where I come from.
Yeah, like, is she supposed to, like, clearly she's supposed to be urban.
Hush, Kevin.
Like, she's supposed Zero. To be boy. Like, she's supposed to be urban. And it's just like, why, like, the other skins, like, the people are like soldiers and shit.
She got a labrum piercing and
it's just like, what?
You don't know all black people wear chains?
How?
Literally and figuratively?
I would say maybe I have been to events of different kinks in which this attire would not be that surprising.
With the chain that has a link lock on it?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
She might be, she you know, she might be in a certain lifestyle that's a little different. Okay. That will go over to his of Fortnite children.
You know how Apex is all about diversity.
Yeah. So you know what? You gotta get in on that. If that was the inspiration for this model, I absolutely give Fortnite a thumbs up.
Hey.
But however, I doubt that's probably unlikely. But
you're right. It is unlikely.
I'm just saying it's not completely foreign to see such apparel and accessories. Right.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, to me, when I look at her, she just reminds me of a bootleg Lifeline. But you know,
at least it's not a Jesus piece, that's all I'm saying.
You're right. You're right.
It could be worse.
Okay. Her pants aren't sagged.
All right, Doug, go back to the whole money thing.
Yeah. Are they securing the bag?
So this is a report coming from Super Data Reports and Nielsen Company. They talked about January gaming sales, and so they said that worldwide digital game spending has declined on console, PC, and mobile in the month of January 2019. Most notably, Fortnite revenue was also reportedly dropped by nearly 50% in that same month. So they're saying overall that consumers spent $8.4 billion on digital game across all platforms, which is down 6% year over year. And then when you're looking at actual games, they said that Fortnite among with Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty, FIFA, and Overwatch also went down. It's not too much of a surprise because usually retail spending goes down in January because people spent so much money over the Christmas season.
Yeah.
But the biggest drop in Fortnite is the biggest surprise of them all. So when they're looking at that, they're really looking at how, if you look at all platforms for Fortnite, it is a 48% month-over-month decline in January. Granted, I mean, this is, you know, before the launch of Apex Legends.
Yeah.
Fortnite has had its issues. There's more attention to it, but it is still surprising.
It's the holiday season, so like there is a, but you don't want to say big uptick.
And there's only so much money you can spend.
But you're not buying
right?
much game.
After,
yeah.
After
yeah.
you've bought everything, of course there's going to be a drop.
Right.
Now, one other thing that this part also mentions, that Red Dead Redemption 2 online beta, they say is failing to pick up momentum. And that, yeah, I know.
Who would have thought?
The online beta revenue has fell by 14% month over month in January, due in part to declining monthly active users level.
Oh, really?
I call this out, though, because...
It's hard to, like, make horses and buggy.
Interesting. There's only so much you can do versus Grand Theft Auto 5.
That the online to Red Dead Redemption 2 wasn't going to be banging.
Mm.
Me. I'm the one that called that
you
shit
did.
Out.
You did.
You should
I
make
call
a
that out.
We called
as
it
well.
I didn't. I'll be honest, I didn't, because I was like, "Oh, like this is the online service that started it all for."
That game is too grounded.
It's not too flashy as like whereas GTA 5. I mean, I never got into GTA 5 online. Yeah. However, people love
absolutely
that game. It is addictive. Whereas Red Dead, it's like I'm gonna get shot trying to go to Blackwater.
Yeah, I will say that,
and it's super expensive.
GTA 5 really took off. Once they did the whole, you can just start putting like the elements in the sky, make your own courses, like just do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's when people are like, I can make a Hot Wheels course? Bet we're doing this.
This is kind of unrelated, but I think this is reason why like it's hard for games like Crackdown or Just Cause 4 to really take off now, mm-hmm. because GTA has really taken that formula.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because I was thinking about this, literally, with the exception, you can't even destroy buildings in Crackdown. You only do it in the multiplayer. So there's literally nothing that you can't do in GTA Online that you can't do in a game like Crackdown.
Other than pick up a car and throw it. But I mean,
at this point, they probably come up with some story where you can, when Leonard gives you like the serum or something.
That's true.
Or Lenny, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Lenny. No, Lenny's from Red Dead.
Yeah, that's not Lenny.
I can't remember the weird dude.
Well, anyway.
So, DJ, Microsoft, new hardware. What's that about?
Are people still going to E3? I thought E3 was canceled because PlayStation said we're done with it.
I'm sorry. The name of the guy is on my tongue and I can't.
Andrew?
Really?
you mean
is it Lester?
From Lester? Yeah. There we go. We can talk about Microsoft later. I don't care. Anyways,
we care
Microsoft.
About Microsoft.
Yeah. I'm joking, everybody. Ha ha ha. It's a joke.
Hi, Jordan.
So Microsoft, it is set to unveil. This is a rumor. A new console, which this kind of seems weird because there was rumors like months or a year ago about Scarlet.
Yeah.
And the two boxes. One's supposed to be streaming. One's supposed to be a physical.
I thought it was Scorpion.
It was Scarlet.
Oh,
Scarlet.
Yeah. What is Scorpion?
That's an animal.
Get over here.
I think you mean insect.
Huh?
Insect, not animal.
No, an insect can be an animal.
Tomato, tomato.
Xbox Scarlet.
Yeah. So I was like, let's get this. All
right, so this is coming from IGN. New reports suggest that Microsoft will be unveiling two Xbox hardware platforms during E3 2019.
Nice.
And on top of that, Halo Infinite will launch inside them.
Ooh.
Halo Infinite, the new game to service game that is supposed to be a little better than Anthem. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I just made that.
Okay, so.
But it makes sense, though. I mean, Microsoft is literally like, we've tried everything we could to make this console generation work. It's just literally, let's just get out of here.
Yeah, let's just start over.
Yeah.
We will set the date for the new generation. And they literally have no competition at this thing because. Nintendo does its little direct thing, and Sony won't be there. Probably doing a Sony direct thing. So the field is open to them. And this is if this is a true rumor, if this is going to happen, this is the best scenario for Microsoft.
Yeah.
Because no, it's not.
Huh?
They're showing their hand too early.
You think so?
Sony can react.
True, but
same
they
way
also,
they did last time.
Well, you go to look at that. They're owning this news cycle.
But they got to do something.
Yeah.
Like, they have nothing.
They announced early last time and Sony came out and
Yeah, but they got it.
So, no. They announced though. Early, but they announced the whole service thing early, and Sony came back with that fire. This is how we share games. And that was perfect. Mm. But I would say that I don't think the Sony of this generation is the Sony that started the PS4 generation.
Right, because that's Sony who was hungry because PS3 got smashed.
Exactly. Like, I feel like Sony would look at this and be like, all right, well, good luck on that. Like, we're going to release when we feel like we're ready.
Right, because we still got Last of Us. We still got Death Stranding. Exactly. We still got Sons of Anarchy with zombies.
Yeah, so like,
that's a polite way to describe it.
Pretty much,
it's gonna be a so good like, game. Just watch.
I feel like, I mean, I think, again, this is rumor. Like,
ooh, we got Crash Bandicoot.
It'd be nice to see what Halo Infinite actually is.
Day one,
and basically, what will this box be?
Who's developing Halo Infinite?
I think it's 343 Studios. Whoever did the last Halo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not Bungie.
I was gonna say Activision's like, let me see if I can hop back on this.
we're all waiting to see what happens.
Okay. So Sean,
yeah,
what else are we waiting to see what happens?
Not some Nintendo shit. So they had a Pokemon Direct last week where they announced the new generation. I think 8. Is this Generation 8?
Yep.
Okay. Pokemon Sword and Shield, they finally moved off of gems and colors.
Yep. Going big.
It's gonna be on the Switch. It actually looks like fully 3D. It looks like I'm hoping you can control the camera.
I don't think you can, because I've actually heard a lot of like people talk about how like you can't
control it'd be camera. Fine still. The graphics still look good. They have three, they announced the starters, they announced the world.
It looks like it's the same engine as the yellow. Let's go, Pikachu.
Pokemon,
let's go, Eevee.
Nah, this looks way more upgraded.
Oh, really?
This looks way more upgraded.
All right.
Not that I would know. the new place that they have is called Galar. It's based on the UK for some reason.
Yeah.
I believe this is the first time they based it off a real place.
No, I thought the other drains.
XY had like a Paris thing.
And I thought the other one had like a New York thing.
Theme.
Black
kinda.
And white, I think was.
Yeah. But did they actually call out the city?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're
so this could be in the real world.
It's not the real world, but it's based on the United Kingdom. I think that's the first time they actually called out, a nation or a city.
So in Aloha and Sun, you know, you can make like black people.
So yes, I was black.
So can I be black?
Cam,
if I get this?
Yes, I would believe so.
You'd be delighted to know there was absolutely no black person in the trailer for Pokemon.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
No, you can make your own character.
It. Yeah. The green starter, the little monkey.
So the
you
monkey
see,
that
you
refers
can't see
to
Cam's face, but it is that smirk of like, bless your heart.
Let's give the coons this because we know they'll like it.
So they got three new starters.
How you feel about them?
I'm gonna get all of them. They got Score Bunny, which is a fire rabbit. Sobble, which
fire
is
fire rabbit.
Yeah.
Sobble.
Sobble is some water. I don't know what
it's
the hell. A guppy
water lizard. That's what that thing.
Yeah, because he did like a camouflage.
Yeah.
And then they have Grookey, the grass.
We all know that plant types are the wackest. So
I'm sorry.
Don't even go there.
What?
The plant type.
Yeah, they're literally the most useless class. It's always fire or water. Pokemon game, with the exception of Pokemon Blue and Red, no Pokemon game has been built around a grass type
or water type.
The water types have the most utility of them all. They typically become
they do, but they don't get the time like the fire types do.
Well, because
the fire type is the Pokemon type that the game is built around. Because
no.
You don't no.
No.
If you get
Charmander
type,
at the beginning, you are facing a heavy road up ahead of you.
No, you're not.
The first Brock,
as if you couldn't catch
really
other shit on the way up there.
Yeah, you can. You can catch a bug type or
this,
grass
this
type
has
before you get the Brock.
Turned into a Pokemon cast.
Sean's like, man, shut up. Let me get through this. That's it. Go ahead, Sean.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm copping it. Day one.
It was the direct was probably like
five. It was all of 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, it was.
That's
it was why really
I like
short.
It. Games.
So what?
I said that's why I like it. Games.
So, Grookey, real quick. I saw a meme how they were like, watch Nintendo fuck around and be like, Grookey's Final Evolution is just a dude.
Wasn't that's the chimpanzee? They already did the chimp that was a fire type that's a starter.
Yeah, you're talking about the last one.
No, not Infernoar.
Incineroar.
Incineroar's the wrestler.
Firewolf.
Infernal chimp or something like that.
Yeah.
Infernal monkey, whatever.
Yeah.
But that, you know, they all going to turn into a firefighting type. That's what they always do.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping that in this Shield, Sword and Shield, that they change it up a bit. Like, I did appreciate, I believe, the last one.
Aloha,
yeah.
Sun and Moon.
Like, the fire type at the end was, like, fire and fairy. The water type was, I think, just water, and the grass was grass and ghost. So that was cool to like add the elements that you don't really see too often.
Yeah,
but I don't know. When I looked at the three starters, I was just like,
they don't really look that.
Right.
I need to see what they're going to evolve to. For me to decide.
For the longest time, the water type Pokemon has gotten trashed.
What?
Because they have looked like trash.
No, Imperium looked. Come on, bro. Imperium literally looked like a king, and he's a water steel type.
He's water and steel type, so he can get completely destroyed by electric.
No, steel types are only weak to fire.
And a leaf.
Leaf, that's what it was. Leaf, yeah. Yeah, he took four times. Whatever, we're going Pokemon.
Okay.
Steel's weak to leaf? I had Emporion. Yeah, it was okay. Like, I thought this was cool, but it was just like, I know. Like, this is... Anyways, I'm probably going to go Grookey or Scorbunny, but I have to see... what the second evolution looks like.
I need more information on what's in the world. Because they also have a bunch of hoot-hoots, and I don't want to play Pokemon Gold, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, so. you're right. So, yeah, so this Pokemon game is going to have... there's going to be new Pokemon in it, but okay. It's going to be sort of the same formula as the previous Pokemon, where there is the old, I guess, more than 150.
Mm.
Yeah. They're just going
to
have...
Can I get a Houndour?
You're going to be able to import every single one from the past games, yeah. No doubt. So
I was really hoping they were going to do a fresh start. I was really hoping they were going to do a fresh start. And come just on. Like,
you're not going to let all that lore go? No.
Lore? Pokemon?
Well, animal lore.
You mean evolution?
They have lore. It's just as confusing as Kingdom Hearts, though. They do a lot of retcon.
Yeah, you're not wrong on that.
All right. So, DJ, you want to take us home? Is that it, right?
I mean, did we cover everything?
Yeah, we covered all the
games. Do you feel like you've talked as much as you can about everything?
Yeah, especially about Pokemon.
All right, well, this has been another episode of the Press X Star Podcast. Yeah. Sorry, what camera?
No, I said the Pokemon chat was a pleasant surprise.
Oh, that's good. That's good. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. If you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Please subscribe, everyone. Until next time.
A tutela.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right.
We got a little class. We classy now. Oh, shit.
Are we calling them hoes?